السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد, my brothers and sisters, we are continuing with the lectures on the ayat of Surah Al-Luqman. الحمد لله بإذن الله تعالى. And we are on the ayah which I mentioned to in the last khutbah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَلَمْ تَرَوْا أَنَّ اللَّهَ سَخَّرَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَأَسْبَغَ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَهُ ظَاهِرَةً وَبَاطِنَةً وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يُجَادِلُ فِي اللَّهِ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ وَلَا هُدًى وَلَا كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ كِتَابٍ مُنِيرٍ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this ayah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned us against arguing about him and arguing about the deen without knowledge. And he said, do you not see that Allah has subjected for you whatsoever is in the heavens and whatsoever is in the earth, and has completed and perfected his grace on you, both apparent and hidden? Yet of mankind is he who disputes about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without knowledge or guidance or a book giving light. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمُ اتَّبِعُوا مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ قَالُوا بَلْ نَتَّبِعُ مَا وَجَدْنَا عَلَيْهِ آبَاءَنَا أَوَلَوْ كَانَ الشَّيْطَانُ يَدْعُوهُمْ إِلَى عَذَابِ السَّعِيرِ. Allah said, and when it is said to them, follow that which Allah has sent, they say, no, we shall follow that which we found our fathers following. Would they do so even if Shaitan invites them to the torment of the fire? I'm just saying these, I'm just reciting these two ayats for remembrance, because we have already been through that. And if I recollect, we ended where I had recommended two books for you to read, Outliers and Talent is Overrated. How many of you have read those books? This is like 2 or 3 weeks ago. So none of those present here. The purpose of all of this is to practice. And if you are not going to practice, then what is the point of me talking and what is the point of you listening? Because in any case, whether you like the lecture or not, it makes no difference. What makes a difference is whether the lecture brings about any change in your life. And that change in the life is not going to come by me talking, and it is not going to come by your listening. It is going to come only if you act on what has been recommended to you. So I once again request you to please think about this and take some action. Just sitting placidly and listening is a waste of time and energy. And the point where I ended, just to reconnect, because that was, as I said, 2 or 3 weeks ago, the question I asked you to think about, and I reflect for myself, is that what if I had been born into a family without resources? What if I was the son or daughter of a rickshaw puller, for example, or somebody who earns a daily living by working on a construction site, a construction laborer? If my father and mother had been construction laborers, it is a halal job. Alhamdulillah, they are doing an honorable thing. They are doing something which has value and meaning and which is worthwhile. If you did not have construction laborers, you would be living in a camp under a tree. So it is something that is highly valuable. But of course, you know how much they earn. So what if you and I were the sons of construction workers? What if you and I were the sons of fishermen? What if you and I were the sons of people who sweep the streets or clean the drains? All of these are halal occupations. Alhamdulillah, they are fulfilling a very serious need in society. Now think about that. The fact that we have no respect for that is a reflection on us, not on the person doing that job. So my point is, today you and I are wherever we are, and you know, we have whatever resources we have. The question is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Sakhara lakum ma fi samawati ma fi al-ard. Whatever is there in the heavens, in the earth, we have made this and we have decreed and we have ordered that this must become subservient and subject to you. So what if that didn't happen? What if that didn't happen? And that is the question to reflect on. And that's the reason I said, think about, that's why I recommended the two books, because these books are outliers written by Malcolm Gladwell, who is a statistician. And Jeff Colvin wrote Talent is Overrated. And both of them, they prove by statistical analysis and by good data that success is definitely dependent, no doubt, on your own effort. There's no doubting that. But equally, if not more, it is dependent on your circumstances. It is dependent on where you are born, in what kind of country, in what kind of society, in what kind of culture, in what kind of family, what were the resources that you had when you were born with, what were the resources you had in terms of what kind of schools did you go to and all of that. And if you think about this, every single one of them, I'm not even saying some of them or most of them, every single one of those things is not your choice. Every single one of them. In most of those, it is not even your parents' choice. It is purely minallahi ta'ala. You did not choose to be born in a particular family, and your parents also did not choose for you to be born in that family. They had a child, period. And they had no control over what kind of child. They would have had a child who had some handicap. You could be that child. So you are born into a family with enormous resources. I mean, I actually know people in all of these circumstances. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless them. May Allah help them. May Allah guide them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them sabr. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala... taking care of a child who is handicapped. Wallah, I mean, ajeeb. This is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives that strength to those parents. I know one family where the child is now in his 40s. All the resources in the world, very wealthy. All of that wealth, you ask them, will you give up this entire wealth? Are you willing to start from day one if this child becomes completely healthy? I don't think they will even take a second breath before answering that question. But it doesn't help. My question is, how grateful are we to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what He did for us, Jalla Jalaluhu, without any contribution from us at all whatsoever. Someone sent me the other day on WhatsApp a video about a race, you know, running race. It's a very interesting video. It was this long line of youngsters. Multiracial. So there were whites in them, and there were black African, and there were coloreds, and there were, you know, Asians and so on. So practically all races. And also by the look of it, from different economic backgrounds. So if you look at the, you know, clothing they are wearing, you can make out, well, this, you know, here's somebody who is brand conscious, and the other one is probably also brand conscious but doesn't have the money to buy the brands. Who knows? So, issue is, here's this line of youngsters, different races, different economic backgrounds. So, this man who was organizing the race, who was running the race, he walks along the line with a $100 bill in his hand. And he waves it high and he says to them, the winner will get $100 as the prize. So, here is this race, you will get $100 if you win the race. So, everyone is very excited. And then he says, but before you begin the race, I am going to ask you to do some things. I am going to give you some instructions which I want you to follow. And then he says, those who had their mothers at home to take care of them in their infancy and childhood, take 2 steps forward. So first instruction is, those who had their mothers at home to take care of them during their infancy and childhood, take two steps forward. So now from this line, a few of them, they take two steps forward. The rest of the line is still standing there. That means these were kids who mothers were not there in their infancy and childhood. They went to a daycare center. Their childhood was spelt what they call a latchkey kid. You know, in the West, one of the good things is they have a name for everything. So there's something called a latchkey kid. Who's a latchkey kid? A latchkey kid is a child, a little child who goes to school in the school bus, right? And then when he comes back home, he has the door key around his neck on a chain, and he opens his own house and he lets himself in. And then there is whatever food has been put there by his mother. He eats the food on his own, and he's there by himself in the house for a few hours until the parents come home. This is called a latchkey kid. So, first instruction, those who had their mothers to take care of them in their infancy and childhood, take two steps forward. So, some of them step forward. Then the second instruction, those who didn't have to worry about where their next meal was coming from, take two steps forward. Think about this. Who did not have to worry where the next meal was coming from. Alhamdulillah, I can say the people I'm looking at here, not only did you never worry about where your next meal was coming from, for the last 10 generations, nobody worried about where the next meal was coming from. How many times did you thank Allah for this? How many times did I thank Allah for this? Our choice is to eat less. Our problem is that. How can I eat less? I came back from the UK 3 days ago. So my cook cooked the usual. When I come back home, you know, they have this. My wife has make this celebratory meal when I come. My wife is not here just now. She's back on Sunday, inshallah. But so my cook knows what to do. So she made this khichdi khagina and tomato ki chutney. That is my favorite. That sat in the fridge for 3 days. Yesterday she said to me, my cook said to me, मैं कई को बनाए आप खा रहे ही नहीं. कैसा खाएंगे? आए सो दिन से आज तक, right now I have two dawats for lunch. One I am going to some place and another food has come home. Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. Do we thank Allah Subhanahu wa Taala for this? Hyderabadis can actually exist without kitchens. Because if you attend weddings, then you are good for biryani for the whole of your life. Every single day, 365 days in the year, you can have biryani for dinner. And then once you have a good biryani for dinner and phukat ka hai, jitna khate, khincha, khichte, khicho. Uske baad mein, dusre din tak fursat. Nahi. My Arab brothers are looking at me, it doesn't matter, it's something you don't need to understand, leave it. Best not understood, no? Yeah. These are our internal secrets. Seriously, I mean, think about this. How do we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? When I make dua, I begin by saying, Ya Allah, I cannot thank you. I'm not saying I won't thank you. I can't thank you. But I'm thanking you. Meaning, I cannot do the haq of what thanks means. So, first question, how many had their mothers to take care of them, so they take two steps forward. Second question, those who didn't have to worry about where the next meal was coming from, takes two steps forward. So now some more of these youngsters, they take two steps forward. Then he said, those who went to a good private school, he's not talking about, this is in America, so he's not talking about the public education, school education, which is trash. He's talking about good private school. Those who went to a good private school, take two steps forward. So not that many, but some more take two steps forward. And then he said, those who grow up in a house full of books and as a result love reading, take two steps forward. Right? So some more take two steps forward. Then he said, those who grew up without having to face any discrimination, take two steps forward. They also took some more, take two steps forward. Then he said, those who have an extended family who love them, take two steps forward. So some more take two steps forward. Now, there are several other statements, but this is enough. And then he says, now those who are ahead of the original lineup, those who are ahead of the original lineup, turn around and look at those who are still in the same line. all of these questions, there are some people to whom none of this applies. They're still standing in the same line. And there are some who are practically at the finishing end. They almost like take two steps and your race is over. Because for every one of these, they took two steps forward. All of these statements apply to them. And some statements apply to them, so they were in between. So he says, turn around now and look at the people who are still in the same line. And they said, if you had all started the race from that line, maybe those kids would have run circles around you. But for some of you, the race is already as good as won, because you are so far ahead already. But stop for a minute and reflect that every single thing that you took two steps forward for was not of your own doing. Every single thing. It is not your achievement at all in any way. It was not your decision. It was not something that you invested a single penny or minute in. It was not something for which you needed to give up anything else. All of these advantages were handed to you on a platter. Now ask yourself what you intend to do with these advantages to benefit those in the world who didn't have them. This was that video. And I go a step before that and I say, ask yourself, for how many of these have we thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu for? So I want you to do that as an exercise for this Jummah. Don't do it like you did the exercise for last Jummah. Actually do this. Sit down and list the advantages that you started life with. Sit down and do that for yourself. List the advantages that you started your life with. Whatever you consider to be an advantage, no matter what it is, list those advantages. And then I want you to sit with your children and ask them to list the advantages that they started their lives with. And then see where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fits into this list. I'm giving you the key before. If I was doing the exercise, I would not ask that. I would make you do the whole exercise and then I would say, where is Allah in this list? So with your children or your friends, when you sit and do that, don't let the cat out of the bag beforehand. Let them write the list and then see whether Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is listed there. And if Allah is listed or not, let them think about that and say, is Allah in this list? My brothers and sisters, one of the biggest problems that we have in our lives, thanks to which we constantly shoot ourselves in the foot, is to take our blessings for granted instead of being grateful for them. To simply sit on them instead of building on them. To hoard them instead of sharing them. And to not only forget the one who blessed us with them, but then to stand up in disobedience to him after enjoying what he blessed us with. For no fault of ours. Entirely his blessing and his decision. List your blessings and see where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fits in. See where your parents and teachers and friends and other people fit in. And don't do this, remembering this lecture. Do it as honestly for yourself as you can, as if you never heard this lecture. When you list a blessing, then ask yourself a simple question. What in my life shows that I am grateful for that blessing? That will keep you honest. Because just making a list is fine. Once you make the list, what in your life shows that you are actually grateful for that blessing? Because no matter what you put on that list, at whichever level, if your actions and my actions do not demonstrate gratitude, it doesn't exist. The data must support the statement. If you are making a statement, that must be supported by the data. Let me remind you and myself that those who are grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do not miss Fajr Salah in Jama'ah, in the masjid. Those who are grateful to their parents do not disobey them. Those who are grateful to their teachers apply what they learnt in their lives so that the teachings of the teacher are visible in their lives. Those who are grateful for wealth, don't spend it in things which they know anger Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who are grateful for intelligence, don't use it to look for loopholes to disobey Allah. Because if they are intelligent, then they know that they cannot deceive Him, Jalla Jalalu. Those who are grateful for their children, don't hand them over to the TV, the iPad and the iPhone to raise them. Those who raise their children because their children, these people raise their own children because they know that their children are their investment in the Akhirah. Those who are grateful for their health and strength, use it to stand in the night to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and connect to Him. I think this is enough. And I invite you to make your own list. Make a format. Take a sheet of paper, draw a line down the middle. On the left side, write down, I am grateful for. And then list down the things that you are grateful for. And on the right side, say, actions which show that I am grateful. And for each one of these things, there should be a clear action that you take, that you do, which shows that you are grateful. And I gave you some examples of what those actions are. I remind myself and you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran where He said, وَإِذْ تَعَذَّنَا رَبُّكُمْ لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ وَلَإِنْ كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّا عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ. And remember when your Rabb proclaimed, if you give thanks and are grateful, I will give you more of my blessings. But if you are thankless, verily my punishment is indeed severe. This is very, very important for us to be thankful and grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu. In these ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us to be grateful to Him for His blessings that He bestowed on us and not to disobey Him. He mentions our regrettable tendency to follow baseless and often harmful traditions instead of following the Sunnah, insisting that we must follow the ways of our elders and ancestors or society. You know what I'm referring to, right? We saw this in the same surah earlier when we were talking about the importance of obedience to parents, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emphasized this value but warned us that if even parents order us to disobey Allah and to do anything that Allah has prohibited, then the parents must be disobeyed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said this specifically. He said, do not obey them. If parents are not to be obeyed in matters that don't please Allah, where is the question of obeying anybody else? My brothers and sisters, Islam came as a new way of life in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which means in accordance with the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This way is one which is guaranteed to spread goodness all around to everyone on earth, guaranteed to win us friends and influence people, to give us a life that is tranquil, harmonious and peaceful at home and abroad, and make us the most beloved of all people in society. This is the promise of Islam, and this is what is demonstrated in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you see any individual, group or country claiming to follow Islam but not fitting this template, then you must question the way that they are practicing Islam. And the first one that must be questioned is ourselves. Put yourself, and I must put myself, on this template of the Kitab of Allah and the Sunnah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and ask whether I fit into that or not. And if I do not fit into that, then I do not try to tamper with the template, I correct myself. My brothers and sisters, it is not the fault of Islam, but that of its alleged followers, that their faulty practice, that today people are afraid of Islam and Muslims. When Muslims practiced Islam perfectly and focused on justice and giving more than they received, when they practiced and focused on being kind and compassionate, on forgiving and being merciful, and above all, being humble and fearing accountability to Allah, the result was invariably that they were the most beloved of people. And this is history, this is not my belief. This is history, read history. See the times that we went through. And ask yourself this question and say, what is it that changed? Because La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah is still the same. The Kitab of Allah has not changed. The Sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has not changed. So what has changed? It's a very fundamental question which we need to ask. Here was a bunch of people in this age who were one way, and here we are today in another age who are another way. But what they claim to follow and what we claim to follow is the same. So what has changed? It is this quality that enabled Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu to sleep in safety beneath a tree. Safety lies in making others safe, not in surrounding yourself with cordons of security. One must ask why today's so-called democratic leaders, who are elected based on their popularity with the majority of people, need high security all the time. If they are really popular, who do they need protection from? Those who threaten others need protection. Those who are no threat to anyone but are engaged in benefiting others need no protection. It was because Christian missionaries practiced this value. I'm not talking about Christian colonialist governments. I'm talking about individual missionaries who went into the boondocks. They went into some of the most inaccessible places in Africa and South America, in India, in China, in Japan. Into places which were completely and totally hostile to Christianity. And they lived there in complete security. And they converted hordes of people, in many cases entire countries, to Christianity. By doing what? By running hospitals and by running schools. Again, not my opinion. This is history. You know this. Many of you went to Christian schools. How did they do that? In many places, they went into areas where there were tribes which killed anyone on site. But they did not kill those people. Because when they entered there, one man by himself was not seen as a threat, so they invited him. And as they say, the rest is history. Islam gives us fundamental laws. Like all fundamental laws, they must be followed if we want their result. And those results come from following the law. Anyone who follows that law, Muslim or not, will get that result. Like gravity, like motion, like aerodynamics, thermodynamics and so on. Fundamental laws. Whoever follows that law will benefit from this law. Anyone wanting to fly must understand those laws and he must follow those laws. And if he does not follow those laws, he can't fly even if he is reciting Quran all the time. So it's nothing to do with belief. It's to do with the following of the laws that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made. And that is why this is what Islam is all about. If we follow the fundamental laws, then inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us what He promised us. But if we do not follow those laws, if we do not follow the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who brought that law, who taught us, and who gave us, who demonstrated to us what we should do, then obviously we cannot succeed. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to give us the tawfiq to listen carefully and then to follow what we hear and understand. Right? So make dua and do this inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the benefit from this. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعليه وصحبه اجمعين برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين.